In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, it reads that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" Now, in Matthew's Gospel, we'll throw it up behind me here, Jesus said in chapter 6, verse 9, says, "This then is how you should pray." Now, we pray the Lord's Prayer. It's a good prayer to pray, but here it says this is how, meaning it's a template and also a guide of how to properly enter the king's court, as it were, the protocol. First of all, honoring God, and then we pivot from honoring God to asking for the things that we need, for our daily bread, for protection, for forgiveness, etc. But there was a very clear salutation here described. This is how you should pray, but the address is what? Our what? Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. So addressing God very clearly as Father. Now, we know God being God, and there is so much to the vastness of God and the multifacetedness of our God that makes him God, but he is first and foremost Father. Many descriptions, many adjectives, many names, but he is a loving heavenly Father, and all that denotes and means. Now, sometimes we'll see in culture, in pop culture, in shows, and in sitcoms, they'll enjoy denigrating the role of father as an irresponsible buffoon. But the more attacks on that role identify and reveal the innate value that truly is inherent and is intrinsic. And if there is an attack on that true nature of anything, it foreshadows the absolute value that it contained. So again, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, may your name be hallowed, i.e. kept holy and treated with utmost reverence. Hallowed is an archaic English word meaning holy or sacred. But God is first and foremost a Father. And it's good to understand just in even in our human understanding how to relate with God as Father. How many of y'all grew up in your church tradition possibly saying the historic creeds? Maybe the Apostles' Creed, which begins with what? I believe in what? God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, etc. But again, it was crafted even in our historic creeds. There was good theology put in to block out heresy and to really make sure that the major tenets of the faith were nailed down for the historic faith. I believe in God the Father. And certain characteristics come to mind when we discuss Father, and distinctions when we consider the idea of Father and what a Father is like. Some things that come to mind could be strong, dependable, protector, provider, responsible, affirming, leader, caring, sacrificial, steady anchor, guide, safe refuge. And highlighting God as Father paints a picture in terms that we can humanly understand and grasp. Now, irrespective of bad examples on earth, now there'll always be a bad example, but there is a model and there is a image that we understand of what constitutes and what makes up a Father. Now, we don't just serve a power, which he is, or an almightiness, which he is, because the beauty of his love for us makes him a Father. I mean, he is the Almighty God. There's no equivocation about that. He alone has all power and authority, but yet he relates with us as who he is, as being a Father. And that love that he displays to us, it displays sacrifice, it shows forth protection, provision, redemption, forgiveness, affection, adoption, identity, sonship, rights, inheritance, belonging, care, commitment. I mean, can you imagine all the different religions and an impersonal force that's unrelatable and that's non-intervening, yet we have a tenderness to the God who loves us. Yes, he dwells in a high and holy place, but also with those that are lowly and contrite of heart. And he stoops down to make us great. It's amazing what he has done for us. That's why we love him so. James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights in James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. And our Father gives good things. And if we, even though we're earthly and fallen, have it within our nature to provide good things to our children, where do we think that came from? Where did that desire come from? That nature within, where did it come from? Well, obviously it comes from God. In Luke 11, even here, the question raised, which of you fathers, Jesus asked, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil or fallen, imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Give good gifts, bestow on you. He will not withhold. He has not withheld his only son. Shall he not now freely grant you all things? So when we come to the Lord, we are not coming to an impersonal potentate. We are coming to a compassionate, loving, and merciful Father. He is almighty and gracious at the same time. At the same time, he does not have to suspend one attribute in order to demonstrate the other. Sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, you know, like justice and mercy. They both can be held in tension and be true at the same time. God is, yes, almighty and tender, almighty and gracious, almighty and caring and benevolent. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Romans 11 says, behold the severity and the kindness of the Lord. And knowing and understanding the goodness of God helps us to come to him more readily and frequently. He's not a distant entity. He is a Father. And we belong at his table. He receives us and we are his children. Now that's key. We receive him. God is everyone's creator, but our response to his love for us determines as to whether he's our Father. He's everyone's creator, yes. He is a Father, but is he our Father? So here we see the words that John spoke, speaking of Jesus, where he said, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. That was one of the first passages I remember as a little boy when I prayed to get right with God. Yet to all who received him, have you received him this morning? To all who believe on his name, he gives you the right to be a son, to be a daughter, to be an heir. You have a place at the table. If you received him, then he embraces you. Galatians 4, 4 through 6. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Do you see this connection, this familial relationship that we have with him, bestowing his love on us, relating with him in an affectionate way? Paul said in Romans 8, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How many of you have a witness that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? You know that you know that you know that you belong. You just, and no one can take that away from you. Why? The Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you have been received by the Father. You have been adopted into the family, and you just know it. It is so true to you. Once we were far away, but now we have been drawn, we have been brought near, and that's a very special thing to always honor our identity in Christ. Remember when the disciples went out and the devils would just be cast out at the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, that's great, but also rather rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. In other words, you're a son. That is oh so to be celebrated. We bear witness. No one can ever take that away. It testifies. We belong. We are in the family. We have been purchased, adopted. We are children and heirs of God. Aren't you glad someone loved you? Aren't you glad someone chose you and said, I want you to be on my team? God selected you and chose you. You've even been baptized into the family name, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Baptized into the name. So approval, identity, acceptance, standing, belonging, etc., with all the benefits therein. You know, Father's Day is a special day for many reasons. For us, there's some double meaning. I was really impacted by a move of God that broke out in 1995 in this town in Florida called Pensacola, Florida. And 5 million people came from all over the world. It was called the Brownsville Revival. And this city called Pensacola. And it's interesting. And again, God doesn't waste times and seasons and dates, but he chose in his sovereignty that on that day, on Father's Day, he was going to break out in great power. And it impacted the globe. It impacted the nations. But again, God wanting to show himself as a father, even to the hurting, to the lowly, to know that you can be picked up, to know that you are loved on and cared for. Even when it, or a year prior, there was a move of God in Toronto, Canada, and it was all about the Father's love, all about the Father. It was a renewal and a revival about the Father heart of God and his heart for us, because many times we'll take an experience we've had on earth, maybe rejection, maybe a bad encounter with an authority figure, and we'll project that on God. And God's not like that at all. And God comes as a loving Father to heal our hearts. And he kneels down and he gets in the dirt with us to minister to us and to take care of our needs. And he's touched with our infirmities. He sent Jesus for us. We know he loves us because of Jesus whom he sent. Amen. He sent his only begotten son for us. He cares about us that much. I'm telling you, he's got his picture in his back pocket. He's got it in his wallet looking at you. He loves you. He's whooped over you. You are his magnificent obsession. He's not just tolerating you. Yes, you think, well, I know he's got to love me because he's God. No, he likes you and he is consumed with you. Matter of fact, he calls you the apple of his eye. And our religious mindset will push that stuff out. It can't be real. That's just gobbledygook. That's just mush. Oh, no. He's very affectionate. When you read the letters of Paul, and you could easily think of Paul as being very austere and stern, and he was just like, oh, I would do anything to be near you. I couldn't come, you know, because of this conflict, but I'm sending my son, Timothy, my true son in the faith, and oh, that I could be with you soon, how I longed to see you, and I remember your tears. And there was an affection there. Where does that come from? It comes from Father. It comes from he awakens our emotions unto life to where we're not afraid to feel, because sometimes in life people are rejected so much they shut down. I will not let anyone in. I will not let anyone in. No, we need to love God and love others like we've never been hurt before. Amen. And we need to love large because there is an affectionate Heavenly Father that's committed to us and who is so smitten with us. He loves, and when we know that, it fills our cup and it determines how we live life. If we think, I'm just never measuring up, I'm always falling short, we will act out. There'll be this low-grade condemnation. And Romans 8 is very clear. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been adopted. He's brought you into sonship. But again, we measure ourselves by false metrics many times. And again, as we think, we'll act that out. And it's like, no, we need to know that he is whooped over us, that we are the apple of his eye, that he cares deeply for us. He is a genuine, loving, heavenly Father. That's why there's affectionate language. Papa, Abba, your Abba, Papa, Dad. And all the adjectives that would go with that. He cares for you deeply. He longs for us deeply. Oh, I love God. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Let's just make sure we get our descriptions about God from the Bible. Amen. The biblical God, the biblical Christ. Amen. And not just man. Again, there can be many things that are projected upon him. But we want to see his big magnanimous heart over us. It will heal us. It will heal us. It will heal us. Child of God, it'll heal you. It'll heal you. Remember when Jesus was baptized, he said that roaring voice that came out of heaven, this is my son. What? In whom I am well pleased. He hadn't done a miracle. He hadn't performed a healing. No one had gotten saved. It's just because he's my son. Just because you're his son. Just because you're his daughter. I just love you. And you can't turn that off. You can't make me shut that off. You may not believe it and may not walk in the full benefits of that, but I'm always going to come toward you. The whole story of the prodigal son is more of a story of the father, not the son, that the father comes in spite of the knuckleheaded son. Hello? God came after us in spite of our failure. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At just the right time, Christ died for us. He loves us into relationship. Amen? It's the loving kindness of God that draws a man or a woman to repentance. He just keeps coming. He just keeps coming. He just keeps coming. You hear these reformers of old talk about when they got saved. John Wesley says, I was strangely warmed. He didn't have vocabulary. I was strange. In other words, you've heard people talk about liquid love. It was like liquid love came all over me. You hear people when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, there was this warmth, there was this love that I was in a bubble and I just knew that I knew that I knew that I was cared for. Nothing could compete with it. I felt just, you know, joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's just hard to articulate these little glimpses. It's written out theologically, objectively to be accurate, but to feel it where God touches your emotions and it's good for us to be loved on. How many of y'all had kissing parents? How many of y'all liked it? Sometimes, oh, come on, stop. Don't kiss somewhere. Or huggers, you know. So anyway, just love on your own. Love on your chillins, amen. Love on them. It's all right on this side of heaven. But God's wanting to kiss, and it gets embarrassing after a while, doesn't it? But it's a good thing. Approval, identity, acceptance, standing, belonging, all these benefits. God's building a family. He's building a family of faith. He's building a family of affection. The warmth of the heart of the Father who wants to sum everything up in his Son. No wonder the mighty Apostle Paul prayed the way he did in Ephesians 3 in this letter. He said, for this reason, I kneel before whom? The Father. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole, what? Family on in heaven and earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you, child of God, with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I like that in verse 19, and that you may know it. You got to know it, that you may know this love. And it says it surpasses. Well, how can you know it if it surpasses knowledge? It seems like a dichotomy there. And it's like by revelation, he downloads to you and you get a glimpse of it. Paul encountered it and he lived his life so that others could encounter it. Folks, we have a wonderful inheritance. The lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. I mean, we who were once far away have been brought near. And I believe that God, this loving God that just loves to love on his own, I believe he wants to break every illegitimate spirit off of you today. He wants to break every false orphan spirit off of us today. He wants to break any and all rejection off of us today. It cannot survive under his love. It cannot survive under his embrace. It cannot survive under his intention. He wants to break that off of us so that we can be free and know by faith that we are indeed loved from above. I mean, loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He demonstrated it through his own son. He held back nothing, and he wants to break the rejection, and he wants to break the self-judgment, and break the unworthiness, and break the false metric of I just can't attain. I know you can't attain, but my son did attain, and I love you through him. And I pull you out of that orphan spirit, and I pull you out of that illegitimacy into a warm embrace of belonging and love, and I'm going to heal you in my embrace. I just want God just to wrap his arms around you right now. Come on, just love him back. Just wrap your arms around your Heavenly Father and just let him heal you and love on you and just squeeze any nonsense out that doesn't belong there. Just let him drive it out. It doesn't belong there. It's like, well, if God loves me, then I'm going to love myself. Amen? It doesn't give God any honor to belittle ourselves and to put ourselves down. Why would we do that when he's heaping his affection upon us? He's like, I'm just going to hold you. People sometimes don't want to be. No, I'm just going to hold you until it breaks. I'm going to hold you, child of God, until it breaks. I want you to feel it. I want you to feel it. A firm hug, a firm hold. I'm committed to you. This is real. This is not theoretical. This is real. I'm for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Dare anyone lay any charge against God's elect? I am for you, child of God. I am for you. I am for you. I am holding you. I am loving you. I am blessing you. Well, that just sounds too good to be true. It's called the gospel. It's good news. Good news. God is love, and he loves to love. Go figure. God is love, and he loves to love. When I have had encounters with the Lord, it is inexpressible, like deep encounters. It's like there are no words. There are no words. What is this? This is other. This is heavenly. And we're going to live in that bliss for an eternity. But we want to get as much of it down in the nasty now and now as we can. That's why we pray, your kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done here. We want to learn of it now. We don't want to live beneath what we can have. He's holding you. He's squeezing on you. He's squeezing that insecurity out and loving on you. That wrong concept of yourself, that wrong concept of who he is. Just a big old bear hug. I'm loving you, not letting you go. Even we don't want it, so I'm giving it to you anyway. I'm giving it to you anyway. It's embarrassing. Good. Let the pride fall off. And then we just find ourselves like Paul, debtors. Paul was mushy. I mean, he was quite the scholar, quite the intellect. But again, I'm not going to go through it today, but you can read his letters, his salutation to the churches. They were mushy. It's like, is you a man or is you a woman? Which is you? I mean, it's like they were just very affectionate because he had been touched deeply. This was real to him. Oh, that it would be real to us. We are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's a wonderful Father. Oh, for revival of the Father's love and of His care. You know, love heals. Love never fails. Love heals. Now, after experiencing the Father's love, we too take on these attributes and manifest them. We see this in the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned. And again, contrary to being some austere, distant instructor, he became a father figure to many. If you'll remember, he wrote to the Corinthians saying in 1 Corinthians 4:15, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many what? Fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. You've had many tutors, many instructors. That's good. We need tutors. We need instructors. We need people to help show the way. But he qualifies, but you've not had many fathers. But I have become this very thing to you. I've given my life to you. I didn't just preach good theology. I lived it. I modeled it. I would have done anything for you. I would have done anything for the gospel. And he makes a contrast here. While a teacher might impart knowledge, evaluate performance, correct mistakes, and do their job and then clock out, a father offers deep personal investment, patience, and unconditional care. They walk with you long term and are willing to sacrifice for your long term success. Through your ups and downs, they are present. They are there as a constant presence. Do you know that there is power in a simple attaboy? Do you know what some sons would do just to hear attaboy? It goes deep. I think it was Napoleon that said that men would die for a ribbon, just a little acknowledgement. Just an attaboy. There's my boy. You know, we have the power to release that kind of encouragement over our friends, over our family. Do you realize how many would love to hear that? Some have heard it growing up, some have not. Do we realize there is power in putting our arm around another, offering encouragement to them, whether it's a metaphorical arm or a literal arm? There's power in coming alongside and caring. I had a board meeting with one of the ministries I'm connected to this past Monday in Winston-Salem, and we had a working lunch in Winston at this restaurant. And as I was leaving, I noticed in my rearview mirror there was a kid, and I don't know if he was just out, you know, peddling or selling whatever, but I saw in my side view mirror this 85-year-old man that's on our board with his arm around this young man just praying for him. And it was just so tender. So I took a picture of my side view mirror that was behind me, you know, and I thought, that is just beautiful. And I sent it to him. I mean, it was just a random thing, you know. And so here he was maybe trying to sell something, and maybe he said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. But put his arms around and just ministering to him. Just some of us need to hug on someone today. I mean, physically, you need to hug on someone today. Yokes break. You just need to hug on someone today. Amen. Maybe after this, we do that. We just hug on some folks and just melt any any yoke that's there. Just checking up on others, inquiring how they're doing, the warmth of fathering, the healing of fathering, the affirmation of fathering. From what we receive from our Heavenly Father, we can turn and likewise impart to others. Matter of fact, why don't you just stand up? And if they're not a complete stranger, and with their permission, just hug your neighbor and just say, I love you in the love of the Lord. Just hold them. Bring them in tight. Come on, pull them in tight. Just say, I love you with the love of the Lord. With the love of the Lord. Find someone else to say, I love you and I embrace you with the embrace of the Father. All right, you can sit down. I think some of the sons need to hug their dads later today. Some of the dads hug their sons with a manly hug, an affectionate hug. The Bible taught, Paul talked about greeting one another with a holy kiss, and he did qualify it was holy now. All that to say is that God is building a family. What a joy, what a privilege that we've been adopted. Somehow, we who are far away have been brought near, but it heals us, it affirms us, it liberates us. And to whatever degree we honor dads on earth, it's just a little residue of what it, our Heavenly Father, just a little glimpse of what He's all about and His great heart for us. And He showed it through sending Jesus. I mean, dear me, what a sacrifice. Talk is cheap, but He sent Jesus. Amen. Talk is cheap, but He sent Jesus to give the ultimate sacrifice. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. That is love indeed.